Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I'm sitting by a beautiful, beautiful lake scene. We're way up north near Lake Superior. You can see some pictures of it. We did a video at our edification tab. I want to talk to you today about Philippians 2. We're going to be doing a verse by verse, Philippians 2, 6 through 10. You can catch up on all the rest of the verse by verses at don'tperish.com. Find the verse by verse tab and catch up on all those other ones. Today we're going to do Philippians 2, 6 through 10. Let's get right at it. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you go to my last verse by verse in Philippians 2, would have been verses 1 through 5. Paul was telling us to be like-minded as Christ, and he was talking about serving each other and not considering ourselves but considering others. And here we start getting the details of what this really looks like. Jesus being part of the Godhead himself, John 1, 1 through 4 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christ is the part of the Godhead, and he came down into the world to do what? Well, to fulfill the Father's will, to seek and save the lost, to suffer, to humble himself. And we're going to read about being a servant, a doulos, right? Servant. That means you care about your master's desires more than your own. Yeah, that's a pretty awesome thing to think about. Not easy to do, killing your flesh, but that's what servants are called for, called to do. So this first verse is just setting the stage, telling us who Christ is and what he's done for us, lowering himself and then being lifted up. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Okay, so no reputation. Well, what happened is Christ comes down, and because of his mission, he gets what? Lied about, slandered, mocked, ridiculed, ultimately tortured and killed. Why? For our transgressions, because he's the Lamb of God and fulfilled it perfectly, the law for us, and became the Lamb of God, one sacrifice once for all. Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Remember, when you read that, those were his enemies that called him friend of sinner, glutton, and winebibbers. That was the Pharisees that called him that. So he went from being God to a laughingstock on earth to be mocked and ridiculed and tortured and killed. Why? For us. To redeem. He is the Redeemer. And it says he was a servant to the Father, as we're called to be a servant, right? It says that. It says, made no reputation, took upon the form of a servant. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So we're to be servants as well unto the Father, unto each other, to Christ. And then it says, in the likeness of man. This is a really important part. Christ has two natures. I always preach this in the streets. He's fully man, he's fully God. He was fully man, and he is fully God. And it's important for us to understand that, because he had to come into the world. He had to step into mankind to fulfill what the Father called him to do. Why? Well, he had to know our plight. He had to know our pain, our temptations, and he had to live as a man and be the perfect Lamb of God to be the sacrifice for us. This is all what John tells us. This is what Paul tells us in Philippians. This is what Corinthians tells us. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about Christ, God's creation, man's fall, Christ coming into the world, redemption, and redeeming that which was lost. So Christ comes into the world from a woman's seed. Why is that important? Well, God wanted to splice himself into mankind. It shows us his sovereignty, his majesty, his desire to redeem, his interest in mankind, his love for mankind. He spliced himself right into the human race to come and save those that will hear the gospel and respond. Everyone has the chance, but only some will hear the gospel and respond. Jesus tells us few. If you think about it, the year 2023, it marks when our Lord came into the world. Mockers always say there is no Christ, but he came into the world about 2,000 years ago, and our calendars mark that timing. So it's a glorious thing, lots of proof and evidence of what God did. Christ coming into the world, fully man, fully God, walking as a man, living the law perfectly, becoming a sacrifice, rising again to defeat death, and he's going to come back in flaming fire, and he's going to come back and rule with a rod of iron. We'll get there in a minute. Verse 8, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Okay, so Jesus as a man, he was fully man, right? Humbles himself to do the Father's will. Humble. Tapino. It means to make low, to be abased, to humiliate. Humble. To be low, right? Matthew 18:4, Jesus tells us that we should be this. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we're to be humble, and Christ showed us the way by humbling himself, leaving heaven to come and redeem and seek and save the lost, being a servant to the Father, not doing his own will, doing the will of the Father. And it says he's obedient unto death. There's this obedience. Christ, we see it all over, faith and obedience, right? Christ shows us the bar, the measuring stick, the plumb line. And if we look at faith in the Bible, we see that it's always predicated or always includes works of obedience. And here is no different with Christ. He has faith and he's obedient to the Father. There's no such thing as faith alone in Jesus' example. There's no such thing as faith alone throughout the whole entire Bible. There's always faith and then obedience and works of righteousness because of our saving faith. I love this next part. Jesus, in this verse, fears what's coming, but watch what he says. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yeah, he was in the garden. He knew it was coming, the sins of the world coming on him. Look at the next line. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. So that should be our example. What's our will versus God's will? We surrender our will and we serve God. We serve Christ. We serve each other, brother and sisters. And that is what Christ is showing us. That's having the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, be all about Christ. And we're called, ready? We're called to be obedient unto death, just like Jesus. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So yeah, there is no pre-trib rapture. Saints are going to be martyred in the tribulation. We're going to have to endure the wrath of Satan. And then Christ comes back for us at the end of the tribulation. Go look at my articles on pre-trib rapture exposed at the teaching blog. And then this next part of the verse is very important. It says he died on a cross. I preach this all the time in the street. That word cross means, in Greek, is storos. It's a tree or a stake. And why is this important? Why do I always hammer on this? Well, Deuteronomy 21:23 and Galatians 3:13, Paul tells us that anybody who dies on a tree is a curse, and Jesus became a curse for us, and he died on a tree. He didn't die on a Roman cross, like a cross-shaped piece of wood. He died on a stake. They lifted him up, nailed to a crossbeam, made the shape of the cross, but he died on a stake. And Constantine made the shape of the cross a venerated item because he saw supposedly a vision, and he won a war. But the word cross is not biblical. A stake, a tree. Jesus died on a stake and a tree because he was cursed for us. He became a curse for us so that we could find salvation. Very, very important. It's fundamental to the gospel that Christ fulfilled everything perfectly. And that's why that is so very important. Verse 9. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Yeah, Christ's name above every name. Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The Father lifted up the Son because of his obedience. And Christ came on a mission, right? Seek and save the lost, to shed his blood for the remission of sins, to die and defeat death, to show us who the Father is, to bring the kingdom, all many things he did. And because he did it perfectly, without sin, with full obedience to the Father, he was given authority from the Father. John 5:26 and 27. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So God the Father gives the Son authority because of his victory over sin, his victory over death. He pleased the Father. He's the name above all names. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven by given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. John 14:6. And so very, very important that we use his name, we pray in his name, we focus on his name, we serve him. He's our intercessor before God. He is the link. He bridges the gap. He cleanses us. He's our righteousness. So many things Christ did for us. We don't work our way to heaven. We're working for the one that made our way because of the fruit that he's at work in us by his Spirit. What a glorious Savior we get to learn about, we get to preach, we get to live for. One day we get to see him come and part the clouds if we're alive at that time, or we get to die and go be with him. Paul says, absence from the body is to be present with the Lord. Last verse, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. All right, so again, he's really backing up the name here, the power of that. The name Yeshua in Hebrew, it means salvation. I like to teach people that. Isn't that beautiful? His name means salvation. And some verses in Revelation and other verses really lay this out for us. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Yeah, what powerful images in the name of Christ, the only begotten of the Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. This verse tells us that Christ is over all and over everyone. And what does Paul say? He's talking about bowing the knee. It's a sign of reverence, either out of worship or fear. We should have reverent fear for God. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we bow before God. We bow before Christ. It's one of the, he's one and the same. The Spirit, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And I want to leave you with this. The future is going to be full of bent knees to him, whether they want to or not. Ready? Revelation 2:27. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And that kind of echoes and goes along with Psalm 2:9 through 12. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, there's that fear, and rejoice with trembling. Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. How do we put our trust in him? Oh, we humble ourselves. We bow our knee. We obey. We strive. We walk in obedience. We study the word. We preach him. We live for him. Amen? And other Revelation verses. I got two more I want to share with you. The future is foretold and set. We know it. Ready? Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Yeah, Christ is coming to bring flaming fire and judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1 says he's coming to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. That's why we preach and tell people to obey, know God, obey the gospel. He's coming in judgment. He has all power. He has authority. He has a perfect record. He has the Father's approval. He humbled himself. He was a servant. He defeated death. He covers our sins by his shed blood when we repent and forsake them. He sends the Spirit. He is the Word made flesh. Wow, what else can you say about this glorious Savior? I'll tell you, I want to go out and street preach right now. It's getting dark and can't go out preaching today. But last verse, 21, Revelation 21, 23, 24. And the city had no need of the sun, S-U-N, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it up, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Yeah, the wrath of the Lamb is coming, the book of Revelation tells us. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Yeah, they're going to come. They're going to reverence Christ. They're going to worship Christ. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth is coming. And it's all because Christ humbled himself, came in the likeness of a man, thought it not robbery, reduced himself, okay, and then picked up his throne again, sitting at the right hand of the Father to be an intercessor for us after the resurrection. And this is all because of Christ, his overcoming, his defeating death, his shedding his blood for our sins. And one day he's going to come back and rule with that iron rod, and he's going to rule the world, a new heaven, a new earth, set up his kingdom. Right now his kingdom's in our heart. We're living among the kingdom of Satan right now. Yeah, we are. And then his saints are going to rule with him. Isn't that glorious? I love to ponder that. His saints are going to rule with him. So let's stop right there. We're going to pick up next time at verse 11 and just keep going through it. Hope you're enjoying this Philippians series. Again, go to don'tperish.com, catch up on all the other verse-by-verse teachings, and then all the other thousands of articles, audios, street preaching videos, teachings, sisters' offerings. Check out our daily edification tab, where we do an audio every day and post videos and thoughts to edify out in the world, preaching Christ crucified, loving God, loving our neighbor, loving our Savior, loving the brethren. Hope you're doing well. Stand fast, ye saints of God. Hold fast to the truth. Redemption is on the way. We love you all. God be praised.